kick back, take off your shoes, and grab a glass of tea. We're about to make you listen, laugh, learn, and think. This is the best episode ever of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
At least this week. I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go around scrounging for it. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And listen on iTunes and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Mack Weldon. It's a premium men's essentials brand. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code CLNS at checkout. We're also powered by Little Park Media, where ideas come to life, producing corporate videos and podcasts to tell your story. For more, check out LittleParkMedia.com or contact info at LittleParkMedia.com. So, a serious story as we begin this podcast. Anthony, breaking news, if you will, 61-year-old Anthony Bourdain, dead of an apparent suicide.
The second major suicide of a public figure this week.
It is shocking. You know, we often think that people end up committing suicide because you know they're in financial straits or you know something that they can't get help for or can't afford to get the help, and then they think of no other out, no other way for them to get out of this except by you know taking their lives. And here are two people, Kate Spade, who, Jimmy, you didn't know much about her.
What a shock. Anything having to do with the fashion world and designer. I'm so unhip and just not fashionable. I do what I'm told when it comes to designer, what to wear, what not to wear, colors that
But
don't
now
match.
You know. And I know. She, I know that
Although I will never stuff, understand the female's obsession with
purses
bags.
And bags and so forth. But,
I'm sorry.
And I don't quite understand it, but it's a name that's been out there
and very
popular. And then now, you know, sort of, you know, this shocking news. And, you know, I have to admit on this podcast that I came from the world where I knew everything before everybody else did. I was always plugged into, you know, the news reports, reading every newspaper. And now I'm a little lazy when it comes to that. And so late morning, you walk into my office and you say, did you hear? And I thought you were, I don't know why you would joke about this,
Never.
But I thought you were kidding or you got fake news somewhere.
Yeah.
With
no,
Anthony
it wasn't
Bourdain.
Fake. No, it wasn't. And because I'm on, well, it's interesting you say that, Dan, because I'm going to analyze the statement you just made. When you were actively full-time a national member of the media,
right.
You actually used newspapers as a form of resource.
I did. Well, I mean, not just everything. I was plugged into everything.
But back then, you didn't have as many plugs. My point. You know what I'm saying? Point being, well, no, like I think a, this is like a great a, example
right, right.
of how you find out about news.
Right, right.
And you didn't have Twitter. You didn't have Instagram. You didn't have Snapchat. You didn't have Facebook.
Somebody had to walk into your office
internet,
and tell you.
You had the internet, though.
You had the water cooler.
You had the water cooler.
And so this was an example of the water cooler moment. I found out about this
around
the water cooler.
Right.
But it brings up an interesting, we've had a conversation way back.
We had a conversation
about suicide and how it should be reported, how it never in the past used to be reported.
Period. Back in the day when I first started in 1977 and 1981, okay, and that was kind of the beginning of the career. I was actually told by news directors, we don't report on suicides.
Right. And that was one of the no-nos. And in fact, I was listening to NPR yesterday, and they had a discussion about the Kate Spade death, and they were talking about how we didn't used to report on these kinds of, there were certain things that you just didn't report on.
Right.
And that was one of them.
Right.
And things have changed. And I think partly because whether or not traditional sources report on suicides, the way technology now and the way people consume news, information gets out there. And so it's as if you're not, especially a celebrity, if you were to stay away from, you know, talking about the death of a celebrity, then everyone would say, why aren't you reporting this? You know, why aren't you discussing it? Because we know all about it. It's out there.
Right. And I also think we recognize the seriousness of mental illness.
Oh,
and by the way, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go to a doctor and get 2 aspirin and it be cured. It doesn't work like that.
No, it's an ongoing, long battle.
And it can affect all of us. Dan, I'm not afraid to admit that I see a regular mental health practitioner, well, actually two of them, Oh, wait, three of them.
Oh, no.
So to kind of explain some things. Right. Grant, I mean, I have, there are all sorts of thoughts that go through my head. And I've talked to you before. And the first time we talked about suicide, I told you the worst day of my life was watching people that I loved and care about and continue to mm-hmm. have to go through the death of a family member by their own hand.
Right.
And it just to see that scene alone helps me get through depressive episodes, helps me let those thoughts go in and out of my head,
right.
And self-check myself,
right.
if you will.
Because okay. you've been there. You've seen the impact of something like
yes.
this.
Yes, on, I think, on you people I care about.
Right. And I think, you know, in this particular case with Anthony Bourdain, you know, you look at it from the outside. I mean, clearly he has talked a lot about various different struggles that he has had, but When you look at him from afar, you think of nothing but success. I mean, here's someone who has built a mega empire.
Mm-hmm.
If I know CNN ended up when I was there, he was coming along. His show was doing well, but it was clearly becoming the anchor of something that CNN wanted to establish, and that's this kind of reality programming where people would tune in to watch because it was so engaging. And he found a way of asking basic questions that would get at really interesting answers, and also took you to places through food. You know, I always, right. One of the things that I did after I left CNN is that I wanted to do a religion show. And the way that I was pitching it was basically what Anthony Bourdain has done for food, I want to do for religion. And that is use religion as a way to tell you about certain areas of the world. And he did that well with food. It wasn't, I'm not a foodie, you know that.
Right.
But I would always tune in. I eat whatever's coming by.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Right. But he had a way of, you know, using food as the door that would open you to all of these wonderful experiences in wherever he was traveling. And he would try anything from, you know, a live cricket or whatever to, you know, it's just mm-hmm. something gross and interesting. But you could talk about culture and people and get to really feel that region of the world that he was traveling in. And this is a huge loss. It's a huge loss for everyone.
For humanity and certainly his family and all this. And one of the things that I love about this discussion that we have once a week, we call Behind the Media, is my ability to actually learn stuff that I had never really heard about before. And in fact, a word that I learned.
And I learned, by the way, in the 10%. Or has it gone up to 20% for me? Like, you learn things.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about sports versus
news. Right. So
right.
I'm saying we learn a lot because
yes,
we come
share.
From different
right.
sides correct. Of the journalism scale.
The journalism world. And yeah,
right.
Exactly right.
But you learned something.
I learned suicide contagion.
Right.
I said it right?
Yes, you did.
Whew. I was not sure. But basically, that is a term that mental health experts have talked about, how it's almost like a copycat.
A copycat, yeah.
Right, and they want the media to learn how to report on suicide.
And that's a big criticism, I guess, that whenever especially high-profile cases emerge,
right.
it becomes just kind of like a breaking news thing, and they just want to, you know, report all the sordid details. Where did it, how did it
well,
happen?
Well, look
how
at your out? Reaction to Anthony Bourdain when I walked into your office.
Yeah.
You were, you know, physically, you were shocked.
I was. And that was
what?
Real, yeah.
Right, and that was
right, and then you want to look for the details, and I know in the Kate Spade case, I mean, there was some criticism of it because it wasn't just that, you know, her death was being reported, but they were reporting
her struggles
certainly,
right.
but also how she did it,
yep.
you know, a doorknob and using a scarf of some sort to hang herself.
Right.
And it's always as if, you know, it is the public's feeding that voyeurism in a way. And there's been some criticism
curiosity.
Of that. Well, yeah. For some it's curiosity. Others, I think it's voyeurism. They want to be able to, oh, tell me everything. I want to look through the window.
The why and the how.
Right.
Are the first two. Why did that person do that? They were so successful. But what they don't know, Robin Williams, who is one of my
there's a lot
favorite
of pain
people
behind
of all
the scenes.
Time. That's right. That you can't tell the human being. These are actors, people in the public eye, and there's their public life.
Right.
And then there's their private demons. And and we all have these demons.
We're
all human. We are not perfect beings.
And I've always said, and we've talked about this before, I believe that some of the smartest, best people at whatever they do battle a lot more private demons, because what gave them the ability to really focus and be so well at that other thing is they're lacking some other things or struggling with some other things, and they channel all of their brain power into that one thing, and that's why they become so good at what they do. And that's not a scientific thing, but I've just found that a lot of people, some of the people who are at the top of their game, and you find out, wow, they're struggling with getting up out of bed in the morning because they don't think they're good enough, you know?
Absolutely. Just a couple of things, and coming to the factoids, because I did some research on this, the suicide contagion. Okay. Basically, this is a Kelly McBride, the vice president at the Poynter Institute and a mental health expert. When we cover suicide irresponsibly, we actually make the problem worse because there are things in suicide stories that are scientifically proven to create this contagion effect. We have a moral obligation to find an alternative way to tell the story. So, again, you know, just because you're a member of the media, and we've seen a lot over our 40-odd years, you know, 70, 80 between us, we have to learn how to do this.
Right.
And I think they are trying to do that. But here's the biggest challenge in our modern era, and we have talked about this all the time. It's one thing to be a traditional media journalist and try to do it the right way. Get the knowledge. Listen to the mental health experts on how to report it. But because of social media, because of the walking around with your phone slash camera, people want to see the body being wheeled out. They want to see where this person did it. They want, they're curious, how'd they do it?
And they go looking for that
sometimes.
They
go looking for that.
Right.
And that is not what these experts want to have happen.
Right.
But I mean, again,
but it happens every
it's
time,
the wild, wild west now. We can't, you can't control the public. You can educate the public. You can create dialogue amongst the public. We can talk about this and have people hopefully listen to it and listen and download and learn something. But it is the irresponsible reporting on celebrity suicides that can really be worsened by this kind of a media environment. And that is really what these people have got to try and overcome. And
right,
that is not it. That is not going to be an easy thing.
And then the thing about it is that when these suicides happen, the headlines follow, and they're always sensational headlines. And you have sort of the more tabloid kinds of publications that really play that up, especially when it comes to a celebrity. Others are more traditional and straight, I think, in the way that they do present those headlines. But one of the things, and this is a USA Today article that I was pulling from, it says that the headlines are written to break through social media algorithms, and thousands of websites compete for readers' attention. And so they create these kind of buzzwords so that it makes it very searchable so that people will find them. And so they're explaining that part of the problem is, as opposed to just saying, hey, you know, someone died, you know, suicide is suspected, they throw in all these other more tantalizing words so that people will find it. Because as you know, and we've talked about a lot on this show, it's all about clicks and getting attention. And so, you know, the question is, what do you do? How do you report on this? You can't ignore it, as you pointed out.
Correct.
Everyone's talking about it out there online. Are there some things that we should be thinking about when reporting on suicides, and in particular, celebrities, because those are the ones that their deaths get the most attention.
Right, because we are a celebrity-focused culture. We are just fascinated by it. And we build people up
and then
so that we can
down.
Watch them break down, and then we give them a second chance so we can see them get up off the canvas and again come back and again. But here is
But before you go to the solutions part, you know, what we should be reporting on,
yes.
I did one, and you talked about this. You were listening to a radio show, and they were talking about this is becoming a major problem. We're
30%.
Yeah, so I'll read it here. Suicide is a growing problem in the United States. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention published a survey just this week showing suicide rates increased by 25% across the United States over nearly two decades, ending in 2016. 25 states experienced a rise in suicides by more than 30%. So what's at the heart of this, Jimmy? Is it just, you know, the
pressures of life?
The pressures of life? That's one?
The inability to express yourself in a comfortable environment. You know, needless to say, social media is not a comfortable environment.
Right.
It's out there with the public.
And is technology also to blame
here? Huge.
Because
factor.
Now kids, not just reading about it, but they when kids are discussing on an ongoing basis on social media, you know, I want to kill myself, I want to do this, whatever, these dark thoughts are no longer just your own dark thoughts or your few friends around you,
right.
But you can find dark thoughts everywhere, anytime, 24/7.
Yes,
and could that be part of it?
Well, interesting. In 1990, there was a workshop that included sociologists, public health officials, researchers, psychiatrists, psychologists, news media professionals, and they all talked about this. This was in 1990.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, these were their conclusions. Rather than get into it, but I already quoted one of them, but. Specifically, they think that the news media should be covering stories about the help that is available in your communities when you have these dark thoughts.
And that's true. They should be.
No question about it. Because, as you know, the news media, especially in the 90s, I'll admit it because I made a career switch, if you will, loved to chase ambulances. They loved the sensationalized.
The gory stuff.
The gory stuff.
Sells.
The shocking stuff.
That sells.
When I come into Anthony Bourdain, he passed away, and you're like,
I was shocked.
What?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And
so,
I instantly Googled to find out. Actually, I just opened up the Google, and then it was right
thrilled.
There.
Yeah. Right. Well, it was obviously the number one trending thing. So,
right.
What are the availabilities in a community to talk to people who might be of high risk? You know, parents need to talk to their children about this.
Right.
Let the kid understand that they can come to their one or, if they're lucky, two people that are unconditionally attached to them. They care
right.
about them no matter what.
And we need to do a better job of urging parents to listen and to pay closer attention, because I think a lot of times
They
don't know what to do, number one, they're not paying attention to it.
Right.
And so, you know, these stories need to reinforce, you know, what help is available and what signs need to be looked for, which is what kind of is at the heart of this. I mean, when it comes to solution reporting around suicides, it's about providing help rather than just talking about the sensational details.
Correct. So some warning signs. And this comes right off the whole thing about the U.S. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which, by the way, 1-800-273-TALK. And really and truly, that's what we do here every week, Dan, is
right.
we sit down and we talk about the things in the media every week.
Right.
And creating the dialogue is the first step to overcoming addiction. It's overcome prejudice. But you need to create the communication between people. All right. So here's some warning signs just for information.
Because
you know,
we want to do responsible reporting, if you will, or a responsible conversation about this issue.
Right.
Not just the breaking news.
Exactly right. And so I talked about talk. And, of course, it's in the 1-800-273-TALK TALK or 8255. Sure enough, the number one warning sign is actually talking about wanting to die or feeling hopeless, lacking purpose, being in pain, or being a burden to others. Mm-hmm. Increasing the use of alcohol and/or drugs, which, by the way, moderation is the key on all those.
Right.
Sleeping too little or too much. And withdrawing or exhibiting anxiety, displaying rage, recklessness, or extreme mood swings. Those are warning signs. If you know someone who might be exhibiting any of those, find a health professional to talk to about them, alert them to it, and they may give you some tools on how to approach that person.
Right,
because,
right.
you know, let's face it, this is not something, we've now recognized there's a problem. We've started to talk about it. We're going to experts to get some guidance about it. And as former media people, we've got to learn now how to report on these
right.
things. Because they are becoming too current too many times.
And while there is that contagion aspect of it, I'm hoping that now that we've had, you know, two major names, huge celebrities who have died, you know, of apparent suicides, perhaps the conversation will be as we have just, you know, been having here, right? And less about the details. So, you know, that information has come out already about Kate Spade, obviously breaking news about Anthony Bourdain. But hopefully there will be this conversation that becomes the next layer of coverage. And again, not just among people in general, but among members of the media,
yeah.
You know, the newspapers and the online magazines and the radio shows and so forth. There really has to be a conversation about this issue beyond the details.
Yes. And I'm going to say another thing here. This might be a Reverend Jimmy moment.
Oh, go ahead, Reverend. If ever we needed a Reverend Jimmy moment,
right.
This would be it.
If you are an individual and you feel like you have these thoughts, any thoughts, every individual has the right to seek out a mental health professional. Mm-hmm. There should not be a stigma anymore about you wanting to search out someone who can help you. These mental health professionals, when you go into their office, they are only concerned about you,
and
your
mental
health,
better.
Yeah. Making you better. Okay, that means that's their concern. That is, it's all about you. And for someone who, I kid a lot about myself. I laugh at myself. I'm comfortable with my faults and my strengths.
Right, right.
And so I enjoy the time that I can go in for that hour and just say, look, this is what's going through my mind over the last month or week. And here are the pressures that I'm under. And how do I deal with this?
Right.
That should be, everyone should have someone that they can go to, not a friend. Go to a mental health professional.
I mean, friends are good to
friends
get
are good
to get you there and to keep you there.
Peer pressure can be very powerful
exactly.
At any level of your life. Okay,
right, right.
Trying to keep up with the Joneses, the pressures of the financial pressures, the moral pressures that we all
Whatever
have to
is,
face.
Yeah.
Right
now, I'm wondering though, Jimmy, is it more difficult for someone, you know, like a Kate Spade or Anthony Bourdain? And again, we don't know what kind of help they may or may not have been getting in their private lives. But I'm wondering if celebrities and those who are out there in front of the cameras and in the press all the time, if it's a bit more difficult for them because there is this fear that, you know, if word gets out that they are struggling with something like mental illness, then the big jobs go away or their audience will react in a certain way or they become vulnerable because they are saying, I am not that perfect person that you are watching on television or you're buying the designer stuff from. I'm not perfect.
I'm a flawed human.
I'm a human. And there is vulnerability in admitting that you're human. And maybe that's especially difficult for some of these high-profile folks that we're talking about.
Well, I think, I agree 100% on that. And reaching out and asking for help is a big step. And you know I'm a sports fan.
Yes, you are.
And football players in particular have had a tendency to take their own lives. Unfortunately, we lost another great one this week, 61-year-old Dwight Clark from the San Francisco 49ers, not to suicide.
Right.
It was ALS.
Although we have seen suicide.
Well,
it's a little different because it's tied to brain injury, right?
It's actually tied to their profession. Let's cut to the chase.
Exactly. Yep,
okay?
Yep.
Football can cause brain injury, and it can that obviously once you're anything having to do with your brain, doesn't it make sense to go to see what a neurologist or a mental health professional to help you deal with this? And more football players, you know, the toughest people I've ever met in my life, by the way, yes, they're starting to recognize that I too may have this because of my profession, and now I need to go seek out and get help.
Right. Do you still have that number, Jimmy? The 800
number? I'll give it out again.
Yeah, I think for those of you listening, I mean, this doesn't just impact big celebrities. It impacts everyone. And
right.
And one of the things we talked about in prior to the show is that it's amazing that no matter how wealthy you are or how poor you are, you might be living under a bridge. The one thing you have in common is this inner pain in your heart, your soul, in your head. And no amount of money will change that. The only thing that money will do is if you have people around you who can say, we're going to take control and we're going to take your money and we're going to get the best help for you. That's the only difference. But the pain itself impacts everyone, wherever you are, whatever social status you have in life.
Right. Or ethnic background or religious background, whatever it is. So if you know anyone who is struggling with this, the U.S. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. And yes, you could call anytime, day or night, or even chat online. For those of you out there who may have it may be easier for you to actually tell your feelings through chat, through a keyboard or a, you know, texting thingamabob.
Texting
whatever, you know, rather than actually articulating and communicating your innermost feelings and thoughts about what's going through your mind.
Right. Now, we went a little longer on this podcast, but thought this was an important issue that we really wanted to sort of break down. You know, usually we're goofing on each other quite a bit, but this is a serious matter. And, you know, certainly a blow for me as having worked at CNN.
You know, Did you know him at all?
I've met him before. Yeah. We weren't buddies or anything like that, but I've met him before. And it is especially anytime anyone, you know, loses their life, it's a tragic moment. But this is still very fresh for me. And you saw the shock when you told me about it. And so it was important for us to have this conversation. So, again, as Jimmy gave you the number there, do get help, because we don't want this. These numbers, these climbing numbers.
We need to reverse the numbers. They're increasing, and now we've recognized that there's an issue. The only thing that we can do to actually get those numbers to decrease is to continue the conversation.
Exactly. Let us know what you think about this conversation. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. Have any questions or comments? Let us know at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.